Support local journalism and enjoy full access to the Green Gazette Digital Edition with a print subscription. Subscribe today at thegazette.com/subscribe.
Welcome to the Pinning Combination Podcast, Preps Edition. I'm KJ Pilcher of the Gazette alongside Dick Briggs, ready to talk a little high school wrestling. Here from this week, we'll take a look at some of the results from last weekend. Of course, weather wiped out last Thursday's duels. Hopefully, it's a little more convenient, and we'll get everything this Thursday and Saturday, and we'll take a look ahead at the Battle of Waterloo, which is the big one this upcoming weekend, the last weekend before the holiday break. Briggsy, how are you doing?
Doing good, yes, sir. You mentioned, so start out with this. You mentioned your shirt with Wyatt. Wyatt's our friend, and I don't have a Wyatt's shirt, but I do. I know that his shirts were this color, and as fate would have it, I happen to have a shirt this color that can represent Wyatt. So there's a great picture of it right there. That's our buddy.
And that's where our homage to our final line comes from. It was his saying with the predicament, let's keep wrestling on the move. So that's why, of course, he's been, for many years, he was part of the Pinning Combination podcast. So we honor him with that, and just felt showing that here in one of our last podcasts. Of 2025. Of course, I know he was somebody that, back when we had the Five Seasons duels, he would kind of split his time between Cedar Rapids and Mount Vernon on that second weekend of December. And of course, I was at Mount Vernon this last week. And I tell you what, that was a fun tournament. And for the second straight week, I got to see Eddyville, Blakesburg, Fremont, and boy, am I impressed with them. I know Clary and Goldfield Dowes got the better of them at Independence last week, or the first week in Independence. But Eddyville, Blakesburg, Fremont looked extremely good at Mount Vernon. Mount Vernon won the Newton tournament the week before, ended up second, but Eddyville, Blakesburg, Fremont, seven finalists, or I think eight finalists, seven champs. They're tough. That's the only way I can put it. They're a really, really good team.
Right. And, like you said, Mount Vernon was second. So, EBF had 235.145. Anamosa did pretty well at fourth at 134, and then Lisbon 132. It was fifth. So it's quite a drop off from that second place team to that third place team. So kind of those two top level teams. But that's not surprising. But of course, now as the coach at City High, so he kind of started that program. Getting it going.
That's right. And one of his former wrestlers now in charge of it with Dimitri Boyer. He wrestled at Co. now taking the reins of EBF and is doing a great job. The Mount Vernon tournament, I want to say there are like 37 ranked wrestlers, 16 or 17 returning state place winners in the field. A really, really great field there at Mount Vernon. Of course, they had a couple state finals caliber matches going on. And the one that really stands out is at 120. That was kind of the deepest weight class. What 120 was, I think they had four or five ranked wrestlers there with Uriah Carter and Simon Bettis, Carter of West Marshall, Simon Bettis of EBF, Hunter Campion of Anamosa, Kale Stricker of Lisbon, part of that ranked group at 120. You had a finals rematch between Carter and Bettis. That was a match that went back and forth, and Carter ended up, I believe, getting a takedown, maybe with or getting an escape after Bettis got a takedown late. Carter escaped, I think, with 7 seconds to go to win. Or it was a reversal. Reversal with 22 seconds to go, and then an escape with 7 seconds left by Carter to win 6-5. Little celebration, putting on a raccoon skin cap. Have you ever celebrated by putting on like a Davy Crockett type hat?
It looked like quite a match at 157 in the finals.
That was the other finals caliber match that I think there between Mikey Ryan of Mount Vernon and, of course, I believe it was Hudson Scranton. I want to make sure I don't call him by his brother's name. But Hudson Scranton, right, of Anamosa, where that was 4-3. And Scranton was fighting and like battling for a late takedown. So he was in a couple times there late too. That could have been the difference. Got a stall call on Ryan late. But yeah, between Carter and Bettis, who's lost two heartbreakers in the final seconds in the finals against Mailer at Independence, and now Carter from West Marshall, and then that 157-pound match, worth the price of admission for both of them.
Yeah. So my question is, at 157, was Chase Stamp officiating that match, and did he warn Ryan? Because that's his brother-in-law.
I can't remember.
I'm sure.
I can't remember if he might have been. So, but you know they're probably harder on each other in that family.
That's what I'm saying. Get moving,
bro. Yeah. Mount Vernon had.
That he would ever do that. No, Shea would not take that match. And he's way more capable of that, would never. And it should. So even if it did, Shea would, like you said, he's one of our top officials in the state. So he would take care of business.
No, for sure. For sure. Mount Vernon had four champs overall. What was that?
Here's kind of a fun story.
Oh, okay.
Kind of a fun story. So the 160 champ, his name is Briggs Collins, right?
Yep.
From West Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
Briggs, encouragement to Briggs, and I'm going, what? eventually it dawned on me, they're not talking, they're talking to the wrestler who this was Briggs Collins at the time. So when the match, did you know while you're again there, the Red Owens Southeast folk did not win it. They got beat 39-30 by St. Michael of Albertsville in Minnesota. So that was an interesting. Wow. Yeah, Southeast Post, number one ranked in 3A. So,
yeah, I kind of figured that would be one of those givens, but that's a little bit of a shocker, or quite a bit of a shocker, actually.
Yeah.
Let's transition to the Iowa City Duels here. Just want to make mention of those this weekend. Dowling and Waukee Northwest both went 4-0 down there. Iowa City West and Dubuque Hempstead finished 3-1 in their duels. Good showing there for Iowa City West. We didn't get that Iowa City West City High matchup on Thursday because of weather cancellations. But Iowa City West with a good tournament showing there. And then, of course, they have Linmar coming up on Thursday of this week. West beat Liberty 55-22, who we'll see against Kennedy on Thursday. They also beat West Des Moines Valley 52-22, and then they beat Pleasant Valley 41-34. Their only loss was 44-25 to Dowling, who we mentioned went 4-0, like Waukee Northwest did. But I don't know. I'd say that was a pretty decent showing there for Iowa City West, because I think Dowling is one of those top teams in 3A this year.
Yeah, that was a real
go ahead.
Strong field in that tournament. The 10 teams that were there, extremely difficult.
Kind of move on to the Bobcat duels hosted by Western Dubuque. Western Dubuque went 5-0. Might be the first time they've won their own home dual tournament, which is which I kind of find interesting. They scored more than 40 points in all their duels this weekend. They opened with a 63-12 win over Dyersville Beckman. Then they got a win over Kennedy, 41-27. They beat Caledonia, Minnesota, 42-30, and then beat Williamsburg, 45-24. Williamsburg went 3-1 to play second. Kennedy went 2-2 in their duels there at the Bobcat duels on Saturday. I still think Western Dubuque's one of those teams that I think they're going to be not a surprise team, but they're a team that I think they're going to make some noise in the MVC.
I agree. And, you know, we kind of got suckered into it. I did, anyway. And we talked to Ryan, head coach, for their duel, and he kind of gave the four-boy treatment and said, oh, we're not going to do very well. We're going to get beat, which they did not win the meet, but they wrestled very well. And I talked to him the other day, and I said, I'm ticked at you for pulling that on me. I was kidding, of course. So, you know, Western's, that was a nice duel. It went down basically to one match. I think Western Duke is a lot better than maybe we are with Xavier. You know, that four point kind of gave us a sense of with what was going to happen, you know, two Thursdays ago. And Western Duke's going to be all right. And that being said, Xavier's not a bad team themselves. So it's kind of fun to watch those teams. So well,
for sure. One other tournament I want to touch on, mainly because I think there might have been a little bit of an audible for Independence. I'm pretty sure they're supposed to go to South Tama for the South Tama duels. Of course, South Tama duels, a lot of things on Saturday in Central Iowa got wiped out because of the weather. But Indy ended up going to the Nashua Plainfield tournament. They ended up winning the Nashua Plainfield tournament. They scored 300 points. Nashua Plainfield was second at 221.5. But Indy with a really nice showing. They did well at their home tournament, the Cliff Keene, in the opening weekend. And this weekend, they had 8 champs, 5 runners-up. Ben Anderson at 120, Adam Carey at 132, Sawyer Whelan at 138, Carver Whelan at 144, Cam Kramer at 150, Austin Buckman at 157, Braylon Bieber at 190, and Carter Eddy at 215, all winning titles there for Independence. They had all 14 wrestlers finish third or better. A very, very impressive showing there for the Mustangs. And you know, especially if that was something that they had to kind of, you know, change plans after the cancellation of the South Tama duels, to be able to go up there and perform as well as they did. That was pretty impressive.
Right. And I just talked on Monday to Coach Doyle up in Independence, from Independence. It was actually in Benton, and he's on crutches, and so he's recovering. And anyway, I caught him in a real bad moment. A match was going on. And I wanted to ask him, but I was refereeing, so I only had a brief, you know, couple of seconds. And anyway, I wanted to ask him about what he thought of his seed. And I just didn't have it. Was not the appropriate time to do. But he, you know, I did ask him, and he quickly said, "Yeah, we're seated second in the bracket with Bosco or whatever." And that's all he said. I thought I was personally. I know I'm getting the cart ahead of the horse here, talking about the Battle of Waterloo. But
that's all right.
But you know, I thought they were a better team possibly than an eighth seed. You know, and I know there's 32 teams there, and that's not a bad seed, but I thought they might be a little bit better than that, get a little bit higher seed. So we'll see how that works out come Saturday, Friday and Saturday.
I agree with you. I agree with you. I just want to make a couple quick mentions here. Clear Creek Amana went up to the O-line tournament, won there. They had champions in Cole Kasparik at 113, Brody Schrock at 165, Nolan Dow at 175, Aiden Schrock at 190, and Carl Westerman at heavyweight. Jessup had seven champs at the Springville tournament. Didn't quite have a full lineup there, but still finished first ahead of West Branch in Northland. And the reason why I bring up the Springville tournament really quick is this was a school without a program for a while. You know, they had a sharing agreement with Central City. They had seven guys in their lineup on Saturday. I think they had a 215 pounder that that finished second there. But the fact that they kind of have a semblance of a program now, their own program, that's something that you don't see a lot of. You know, you see teams losing or having to share their programs, not getting full ownership and kind of building from the ground up again. And Springville is doing that. So I want to give a little shout out to the folks at Springville. I will be reaching out to you guys here soon. But the fact that, you know, regardless of what the records are, or what kind of results you're having, the fact that you're building this thing pretty much all over again, tip of the cap to you.
Right. And it makes sense because it's so close to Cedar Rapids, Marion. So, you know, you're going to have a lot of commuters that, you know, if you have those programs in your schools, and Springville Athletics has really jumped in the last five or maybe even 8 years. But that'll bring potential people moving into your town and then, you know, building your strong community there. So I like seeing that as well, KJ.
Yep. Lastly, Maquoketa had the Zimmerman Invitational. That was a tournament that Jefferson used to go to. I believe you used to take people up there maybe when it was a Friday night tournament. But City High came away with a team title and a couple champs there at Maquoketa.
Right. We went up there for many years, and it's turned over. There's a lot of different schools and a lot, you know, this teacher up there. I don't remember his first name, his last name. He really was a instructor that had both varsity and junior varsity, but no, it's a strong varsity tournament. So it's a good tournament for sure. And I love the Maquoketa gym. It's kind of a bowl setting, very much like Williamsburg. Two of my favorite gyms.
Malachi Clement and Kane Willie at 138, 215, won titles there for the Little Hawks. And they had five other wrestlers that finished second. So good showing for City High, who I believe are also City High is also at the Battle of Waterloo, and we'll talk about that. But let's first let's enter our teeing it off with Briggs. segment, you have a little bit of a commentary.
Right. So this is a minor one. It's really, it was a really good technical addition to wrestling. And when the IHSAA required all high schools to use it for live scoring, in any case live scoring, it became invaluable because now grandparents can watch tournaments and so forth on it, and you can watch the live scoring when you're way out of state or whatever. So it's really cool. A couple years ago, Flow Wrestling bought Track Wrestling, and it's making changes to Track. So my gripe is that now when I open a tournament on Track, I have to click from viewer to viewer classic to be able to go to the old style and look at the live wrestling, that sort of thing. And I'm old school, so this is a personal thing. So I always forget to do that. And then I go into this new format that doesn't have all of the things that I'm familiar with on the old one. So every time I get in onto a tournament, I forget to click it to viewer classic, and then I'm cussing myself for going back. So there's my gripe, teeing it up with Briggs. It's a minor one. It's all me. And, you know, it's Flow Wrestling is trying to improve, I'm sure. But there's the old guy that keeps forgetting to go to Classic. And there, I got that off my chest. I feel much better.
No, and that's it's interesting because I've kind of had the back door. I'm the same way. And like I said, I'm not against what they're doing as far as trying to enhance the product, and for younger people, I'm sure it's perfectly fine and welcome. For me, I've kind of had to do like a little bit of a backdoor, go through the seasons and find the tournaments that way. I didn't know you could do what you mentioned. I might have to do that for my benefit as well.
There you go. Yeah,
I agree. I agree with you. I'm there. I'm right there with you. Well, the big one this weekend, obviously the Battle of Waterloo. The girls' competition is Thursday. The boys' Friday, Saturday. Girls, 24 teams, three brackets, and then placing duels, and then the boys on Friday, Saturday, 32 teams. Let's start with the girls really quick. 24 teams out of that field, there are 6 number one ranked wrestlers and 65 total ranked wrestlers in the field. The A bracket is first round number one Cedar Falls versus Cedar Rapids Xavier. Then you've got Waterloo versus Bettendorf, Vinton Shelsburg, who I believe is number 3 seed in that bracket, versus Applington Parkersburg Grundy Center. And then West Des Moines Valley is number 2 seed, Decorah in that bracket. Bracket B, which is named for Mike Finn. Mike Finn is the old editor, Wynn wrestling journalist. I think I said that backwards. The old wrestling journalist and editor for Wynn magazine. Bracket B has Prairie in the top spot. Then you got BCLUW versus Denver, Crestwood and Pleasant Valley, and then West Delaware and Osage. And then in the third bracket, you named after Johnny Johnson. You've got Mason City, Charles City, Indy, North Scott, the number 3 Waverly Shell Rock versus East Buck. And then you've got Des Moines Public Schools versus Lindmar as the number 2 seed in that bracket. Anything kind of pique your interest in the girls bracket?
I have to admit, I'm not as versed in the girls as the boys, but with the top seeds seem to be appropriate to me. Teed off with Briggs in the future, but there's a lot of conglomerations. You know, you got Raccoon Valley that's a whole bunch of teams. Even Cedar Falls is a whole bunch of towns. And so, you know, if they want to try and make it a more level playing field, which isn't necessarily the union's
focus,
good or bad. So some of those teams that have had good history so far, and I would expect them to be battling for the championship on Saturday.
Sure. I really think you could have a really fun duel there with Cedar Falls and Decorah in the finals of Bracket A. And then Bracket B, you know, you've got Osage and Cedar Rapids Prairie. It could be some fun finals. You got, you know, Linmar, Mason City. You've got Waverly Shell Rock and East Buck, who we've seen compete with the bigger schools before. So you've got Bracket C might be the most wide open there. But you could have some really good finals matches out of those brackets all the way through. I also want to send out a plug here for Riley Cole, our girls' wrestling correspondent. She's done a fantastic job. She's got a great feature on Benton Community Sisters, the Wolves, there and them, their family in wrestling. So make sure to check it out at thegazette.com for that. I want to make mention, we mentioned Mike Finn and Johnny Johnson. They're part of the Hall of Fame inductees this year at the Battle of Waterloo. You mentioned Michael Doyle. Coach Doyle from Independence is also being inducted into the Battle of Waterloo tournament. Of course, Indy's been there from its inception. You've also got in Bracket A is named after him. You mentioned Indy's number two seed in that with Don Bosco. Bracket B is named after the Salas family, Dion Reed, who is a former Waterloo East heavyweight. And Finger. And then Bracket C is the Dickey family and Marcus Harrington from Waterloo West. And then Kurt Frost, former wrestler, official that's wrestled or officiated every level of wrestling. The Bracket D is named after him. So those individuals being inducted into the Battle of Waterloo Hall of Fame. But let's talk about Bracket A. You've got Don Bosco versus Waterloo Columbus, Denver versus West Des Moines Valley, North Scott versus Cedar Falls, Crestwood versus Indy. I mean, boy, that's just got to be – there's no way anybody touches Don Bosco, is there? As good as Indy is?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. Be some good matches in there, but just to kind of talk through the format. So you have, it's an eight team bracket, and the team paired up with the other three brackets. So you have a four teams at every level. So the first place, the second place, they're all paired up together in those duels. Right. So that's kind of the format if you're not familiar with it. Yeah, I would expect Don Bosco and Independence in the finals.
I would agree with you. I would agree with you on that. So Bracket B, as we mentioned, named after the Salas family and Dion Reed and everything. Clarion Goldfield Dows, who won the Indy tournament the opening weekend, they're the number one seed. They open with Charles City. You've got Ankeny and Waverly Shell Rock on the upper half of the bracket with them. Cedar Rapids Prairie, Nashua Plainfield, and then Waterloo East and Pleasant Valley. We mentioned Pleasant Valley was down at the Iowa City duels this last weekend. I don't know. This one might be a little bit – I think Clarion Goldfield Dows is a favorite, obviously, being the number one seed. But, boy, you've got some teams like Ankeny and Waverly Shell Rock in there, Prairie and – Nashville, Plainfield, and Pleasant Valley. This might be a little more wide open than you think.
Yeah. A lot of teams here, I know Clarion Goldfield's awful strong this year. I think Waverly's down a little bit from what I've seen with the results so far. Still a very good team, but down from their level that they've been at. You know, Ankeny's always strong. You know, I'm not – PV's always, you know, going to bring a team in battle. So, gosh. It's a tough one to call on this bracket. I know that I can.
Well, when it comes to that, it's a safe bet to go with the top seed, right?
Yeah. Yep. That tells the people they know what they're talking about. The
seed. Right. Right. Let's move on to bracket C here. This is the Dickey family, of course. You know, their family is rooted in Waterloo West tradition. I can remember some of them wrestling in the early 90s. And then, of course, Marcus Harrington, who was a state champ at Waterloo West and went on to wrestle at Iowa State. You have Indianola as the top seed to face Waterloo West right out of the gate. Then you have Lake Mills and West Delaware on the upper half. The bottom half is Linmar and Clear Lake, and then Union and Assumption. Assumption coming off a win at the Williamsburg Duels. You know, they looked okay. They've got some good wrestlers there. At Mount Vernon this last weekend. But, you know, with Indianola, they've already beaten West Delaware in a tournament, an individual tournament format. I think we're looking at Indianola and Linmar in the finals here.
I would agree. I think, you know, bracket D that we'll talk about in a minute have the biggest potential to put maybe another team that's not a two seat, maybe Assumption or Union, whoever comes out of that. In this bracket, I'm with you.
Okay. All right. Bracket D, as we mentioned, named after Kurt Frost, the accomplished official. And I think he might have been a Cornell College wrestler. I think he might have wrestled at Cornell back in the day. But you've got number one Southeast Polk versus Wapsie Valley in the first round. Then you've got Iowa City High and Osage on the top half of the bracket. Then you've got Bentendorf against New Hampton, Turkey Valley, and then Norwalk and Albanette.
Yeah, he certainly made his – sorry.
Oh, that's all right. But like I said, we got Southeast Polk, Wapsie Valley, City High, Osage, Bentendorf, New Hampton, Turkey Valley, Norwalk, Albanette. Well, there should be some good matches there in that semifinal no matter what, whichever way you want to go with it.
Right.
So as we mentioned, the girls, they start on Thursday. Trying to look up the time. 10 a.m. is when that starts. That starts off at Young Arena. Then on Friday, you've got bracket A and B at 9 a.m. Bracket C and D at 4 p.m. And then I believe 9 a.m. on Saturday is when those placing pools start with the finals around 3 or 4. The final set of pools, the final rounds, starting at 3 or 4 o'clock on Saturday. Briggsy, do you think the Battle of Waterloo has become the marquee event in the first half of the season?
Yeah, I think so. In Iowa, you got these big tournaments, the Donnybrook and the Council Bluffs, but you get so many out-of-state teams that we're unfamiliar with, and I think you get fewer Iowa teams in it. So it's, for me, this is the marquee tournament. I agree.
I'll just make mention in the Gazette area, we've got a few other tournaments going on. The North Lynn Invitational, you've got some smaller schools there, Belle Plaine, Cascade, CPU, excuse me, Maquoketa Valley, of course, North Lynn, Springville. They'll be there. North Fayette Valley, who I think is a pretty decent team overall as well. Regina has their tournament. Regina will have West Branch. West Branch is a team that I'm kind of really interested in seeing. I think I'll stop out there. Of course, Regina, you know, their Regal Invitational also has Lisbon there, MFL Marmac, Sigourney Kyoto. Woodbury Central is making the trip over. So an interesting one there. And, of course, Regina, their first-year head coach is Nelson Brands. So interested to see kind of where he's taking the tournament, or not the tournament, the program. And, of course, then there's the Fort Madison tournament, which has been a first-half staple. You've got Benton Community there, Cedar Rapids Kennedy, Clear Creek Amana heads over there as well. I think Marion is in the field. Solon is there. Eddieville, Blakesburg, Fremont is there as well. So there'll be some Burlington, Notre Dame. There'll be some good matches down there at Fort Madison as well.
Right. And then Central DeWitt, did you mention Central DeWitt?
I did not.
So you got local teams. I know Syrups Jefferson's going there, CPU, Maquoketa, Mid Prairie, West Liberty, Williamsburg, I think, or Wilton.
All right. Any last thoughts or anything you want to touch on before we close up things here for this week right before the holidays?
Nope. Been a good 3 weeks so far, and keep it rolling.
Yep. We will be at Kennedy and Liberty on Thursday. And, of course, still trying to iron out what I do this weekend. But make sure to check out all the wrestling content at thegazette.com, including our preview of the Battle of Waterloo and exactly how teams and coaches kind of view this this event and what it does for teams pretty much closing up the first half of the year and heading into the holiday break after that event. So for Coach Briggs, KJ Pilcher, really like to thank all of you for watching and following along. We've heard from multiple people in and out of the Gazette area that watch this every week. So we really appreciate your support and following along, and most of all, supporting wrestling. With that being said, Coach Briggs, why don't you head us out with the late Wyatt Schultz's tagline, and thanks for watching, everybody.
Let's keep wrestling on the move.
We open conversations. Let's start yours. Reach the Gazette's advertising team at advertising@thegazette.com.